Yeah, so here we are. Welcome to episode 122 of Whiskey, Wine, and some other broad.
That's why I'm still playing Neo in my headphones.
This is Miss Think Pretty Smart, the most delightful hostess of the three. And along with me, I have someone a little less delightful, Lady Buddha, and someone evil to her core, Eveline, I might say. Sojo.
What would I do? That's what Neo said. Neo is bringing me through.
How are you guys doing today?
I'm held up in prayer.
By who, Satan?
You haven't even checked Twitter, have you?
Lord.
No, I haven't, because I know it's something ignorant, because you can't help yourself.
You hadn't even checked it. I did a throwback Thursday, a throwback Tuesday picture of our very first YouTube broadcast when we were playing around with the little effects, and Buddha and I actually chose halos, and you chose horns. And I'm just saying, your spirit led you there.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes, it did.
You know what? Mm-mm. Every saint is a sinner that just fell down.
But
he got up.
And you stayed up.
Are you going to get up? I'm saying, what's happening?
Down-ass chick. That's what you are.
I'm on. We're going to help you up. I rise above. Me and Candy, we rise above.
We fall down.
I see it. But you know what? Everything doesn't need to be addressed. I let petty people play in petty land. Anyway, are y'all gonna talk about how you guys are doing or no?
Well, so just how she held up in prayer.
Yes, I'm held up in prayer. Jesus has wrapped me in his loving arms, soothed by the sounds of Neo from the Wiz Live singing "What Would I Do" for the last 45 minutes.
You have been singing it.
For the record, it was 45 minutes. So
it was a long time.
45 minutes.
Well, first of all, Lady Boo, you weren't even nowhere to be found. So, you know, I think part of your plot was to come late so you wouldn't have to sit through the trials and tribulations of the commoner.
It was pretty funny to go back and read what I missed, though.
Did you see the whole thing, like?
I read the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so let's
but
talk about.
But then when she disclosed that she had wine, that explained the entire 40
minutes. Are we gonna talk about stuff and things or what? Because I know I hate starting shows. Well, actually, I fast forward through a lot. Like when people are talking about their day and their dog and that, I just fast forward through that shit. I don't really.
Oh my God. What will I do?
Anyway, I'm good.
Okay, thank you.
I'm good. I'm
coming
back.
Along. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You are back to balance out the force.
I know.
Hush.
Look, Leonard Brothers was on social media talking about, "Where are you, Buddha? They are too ratchet without you." So
She pulls me into that vortex
of evil. What you're going to do, being of sound mind and body, is you're going to believe something Leonard Brothers says? Because... I mean,
LB, that's my namesake. Yeah, LB.
Your namesake, the racist, the liar.
I'm so glad that you are back to balance out and to do your judgmental for 45 minutes.
Yes. Anyway, how are you, Smart? Since you're asking us how we are, how are you?
Right.
I am good. I have some positive news to report.
All right.
I arrived home today, and lo and behold,
I know what you're gonna say.
Packages.
I knew it
at my door. This is after having discovered there is some type of third-party consumer protection number that is posted nowhere on UPS's site, but it's, you know, when you have UPS complaints. And I called that number Friday and took a solid 20 minutes explaining to the woman what had happened, and she documented it. And then on Saturday, someone from the Atlanta office called me. And then yesterday, someone else from the local office called me. And lo and behold, now that motherfucker is walking up these steps, putting my packages in front of my door as I ask.
Because they get fined every time everything gets elevated that high.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
documented, yeah.
They get fined when?
They get fined and documented with the government anytime something gets elevated that high up the chain of command when it gets to the consumer protection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every instance. So, yeah.
I encourage you all, and I'm sure in this holiday season, whatever you celebrate, or just in general, with Amazon, you know, Prime being as widely, you know, such a widely used service, that when they don't follow the directions you put on your My UPS little app or whatever, just escalate it. And I was actually, I'm real particular, I take a lot of notes. So I had a spreadsheet of every day that I had called them, who I had talked to, and which package it was in reference to. And when you're taking copious notes of all of your customer service interactions.
Oh, you take copious notes on that.
Ooh.
Yes, I do.
Oh,
so, you know, yeah. I was able to say, you know, who was pleasant, who was not, because I've been hung up on by just regular customer service people before, and they were, I don't know if it was the lady on Friday, but the one on Saturday when she called, she was able to see the call that I was talking about, and that customer service rep didn't put anything in there about hanging up on me. I also made a point to tell her that the woman who is local who I spoke to has been nothing but gracious and nothing but helpful, and has, you know, at one point they delivered a headboard to my house and took it someplace else, and I was like, no, I'm not going down there and get it, and I'm not having anybody else go get it either. It said delivered to my front door, so I, you know, it's going to, and she made them go back and pick it up and bring it to my front door. So we'll see. I've got some facial cleanser coming, so we'll see if this trend of one package actually being delivered in the last 5 months or whatever, if it keeps up. So that's my pleasant news for today.
So congratulations.
You said something about Amazon. That's that's not UPS though, right?
Yeah, Amazon packages come, some of them come through UPS, yes. Oh, okay. If it's going to be a Sunday delivery for Amazon Prime, it'll come through the regular post office usually.
Okay.
Yeah, and sometimes they use other, like these no-brand carriers. The no-brand carriers also bring things to the door. And to be fair, the UPS man who worked on my route a few months ago, he brought things to my door too. So I know it's just this MF was lazy.
Yeah, it's UPS, because I ordered something that wasn't. Anything that I've gotten from Amazon has always been fine, with the exception of the microwave that was stolen from my front door last week. But
oops.
Another thing altogether. But that wasn't them. They delivered it. Just got a thief in the neighborhood. But the one thing I ordered from UPS, I can't even remember what it is now, but y'all remember like that whole odyssey I had with them and where to leave it and them telling me they weren't going to leave it there and you know, all that stuff. So, yeah.
They try you, but, you know, not even just you. Actually, my history with UPS starts back from in college, because we had this guy. So I was shipping my television and my stereo and a couple of other big things and whatnot, put insurance on it, yada, 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 from my dorm home. It never arrived. 6 weeks later, after my mother, you know, not a working mother, stay at home, invested hours upon hours in following up with these people, and they would find out that this guy was saying he never picked up my stuff and other people's stuff too. And what he was doing was taking the boxes and selling the stuff. Yeah. And so some of the stuff they were able to get back, like one of the boxes, but everything in it was broken. So they had to replace my stereo and the television. But this was the hustle. But up until between then and now, I've been pretty much cool. I've not had to be a, you know, consumer warrior.
Well, we know another consumer warrior goddess.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about her. Buddha, how you feeling?
So, who?
Buddha, we've missed her.
Oh. I'm feeling good, actually. I have about 12 hours of energy per day, and it's like full energy. And then the other 12 hours, I just have to sleep. So either in, you know, going to bed early and sleeping in, and then a nap usually at some point during the day. But I'm good.
I've noticed you balanced out your exclamation points.
You know, you said that, but I kept scrolling up, and right when you said it, there were none. So I didn't really know what you were talking about.
No, for real. When you were first, like, on the medication and you were, like, sending messages, you have a whole bunch of exclamation points.
I don't know. Maybe I'm glad to be alive at that point. Can I have major surgery?
No, I mean, it would be like, the peas are green. The peas are green!
I definitely didn't do that. Yeah, nobody knows what you're talking about.
I'm going to find it, and I'm going to send it to you. Watch.
Please send it to me. Send more than one screenshot worthy.
I will.
It's smart.
Girl, you know she know how to Photoshop, so she's going, you know, she's
going
to.
Whatever. What?
Don't mean my alleged exclamation point. Yeah, I had open abdominal surgery, and it's 6 weeks to full recovery, so there's no running or serious exercise for 6 weeks. But I'm on week three now, and I sat up for several hours for the first time on Saturday, so it's everything's working pretty good. I walk a few days each week. Like I walked yesterday and I walked for 2 miles for the first time. So that kind of leaves you tired the next day. So like today I had to take kind of an epic nap midday, and it's kind of like a lag like that. So it's interesting to kind of see how my body responds day by day.
But it doesn't hurt to walk that distance. It just makes you tired.
Yeah, it just makes you tired. So what happens is, like the next day, you'll be a little sore, and at least I have been. And so what I discover is that when I'm sore that way, it's my body also responds by making me sleep. So it's kind of like a healing mechanism, because after I sleep, there's no soreness. So, so any type of you know, a little bit more rigorous exercise, which is still walking, but like if I walked faster or walked longer like I did yesterday, then the next day it's like, oh, okay, well, you did a lot, so let's recover. So I can't do much, so I'll just kind of go to sleep. I did some work, you know, reclining, because that's pretty much how I sit most of the time, and then took a nap and got back to work. So that's what I was doing earlier when I realized that it was supposed to get on a little bit early. I was finishing up some work. Yeah.
And when can you drink again?
When can I what?
Can you drink again?
Oh.
I gotta ask the important questions.
I can drink at any time. So I was only on, so it's interesting. I haven't been in a lot of pain. So even when I was in the hospital, I was never in pain, but I was scared of the pain. Like, you know, that was kind of one of my biggest fears, was trying to imagine what pain would be like and then trying not to imagine what it would be like. But you know, I never felt any. So you're medicated, but at the same time, the nurses are always checking on you, like, what's your pain level? And I was constantly telling her, 0, 1, you know. The most it ever got to was like a 3 or 4. And most of the time, it was never that high. And so when I got home, you know, they sent me home with 2 medications. One was Percocet. And I took that for like 2 days, but I was like, you know, I'm still not in pain, and so let me just, you know, I'm supposed to take it every 4 hours, so I just decided to, you know, if you could step it down. So I waited until the 4 hours was up and then waited another 4 hours, and I never felt any additional pain, so I just stopped taking those. And the other one that I took was more for inflammation and pain, but again, after I gave myself a couple extra days, because you're really swollen on the inside, your abdomen is swollen, so I just took it for a couple more days, but again, you know, I decided to let it wear out for a dosage, and I never felt any more pain. So I was like, well, I don't need to keep taking all these strong-ass drugs for no pain at all. So I just stopped taking them. So that was within the first week. So I have been able to drink since then. I just kind of decided to you know, let my body detox all the anesthesia and all this the stuff. So I haven't had anything to drink. But I am after tomorrow because that's when Blue finishes his finals for business school for this mm-hmm. semester. So I'm like, we're just going to go out. I'm not going to buy wine. We're going to go out for a drink. So that'll be a little celebration. Yeah. So I know I'll be tipsy because it's been a few weeks.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So wait, I'm letting you know, do you normally have a high threshold for pain?
Well, I was trying to think about that. I don't really, but I also realized that over the years, I haven't experienced a lot of pain, and I think that's why I was afraid of it. You know, even cramps and stuff, I never really had bad ones until this year, and it still wouldn't really be considered that bad. But that was kind of the mm-hmm. determining factor on me stopping the drugs, because I was like, I've had pains worse, you know, cramps worse than this. Why am I taking strong-ass meds when I could just take ibuprofen? So
I think your personality, too, is so, like, level sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when stuff is going on, that even in the midst of that, I think even if you were in pain, I think you talk yourself out of the pain.
I don't know. I've been really trying to note it, but I didn't feel any. And, you know, I've never broken a bone. I've never kind of done some major things that people have done. So I just don't have a deep history with experiencing physical pain. I could just see, like,
if pain was a human monster coming at you, that you would turn your head slowly to the left and say, no, I don't want to experience you today. And then turn your head
back. I don't recognize you.
That's probably true. Yeah.
That's how I see it.
What I did not do was ask. Mm. I'm glad Soldier brought it up to some degree. Mm. If anybody's drinking, obviously, Lady Buddha, you said you aren't. Soldier, are you?
No, all I have is water, and I've been actually growing mint and lavender in my kitchen.
Oh, okay.
So I've just added that.
Can you tell the people how you're doing that? If they, you know,
is that all you're growing too?
Right. Shut I up. Wasn't gonna go there. But.
You have to check, because, you know, you might have upped the ante since I've been gone.
No, it is actually just mint and lavender right now. And I mean,
for now, you're going to test out, see if you can do that
basil.
Well.
Basil. Other things. Basil and sage. But no, those are the things I wanted to add to my water, so that's what I'm growing right now. So that's all I have, with some lemons in it, and I've been doing that for the last couple of weeks. So that is it. That's all I have.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say my new drink is a peppermint tea, and it's really good, and it's good for your digestion. So, like, after the surgery, they had me on broth basically, and you have a lot of gas still in your abdomen, and you can't eat solid food until you can start to release the gas or whatnot. And then even after you can move up to solid food, once you're out, you still have, you know, they said, you know, maybe up to a couple of weeks of just trying to get gas moving out of your system. Anyway, I looked it up and found that peppermint tea was a good solution. And I have to tell you all, it's just a nice habit now to drink peppermint tea, like, either with the meal or after you eat. It just kind of helps ease your digestion, no matter whether anything is wrong or not wrong. It just feels good. It just helps your body move things out. So anyway, if you ever feel like you need a little help, it's not a laxative or anything like that. It just eases or relax your
sphincter.
Your whole GI tract. It's just relaxed.
You should be pooping
You still work normally. It just helps. So it's just nice. And it tastes good. So if you get pure peppermint tea, it's really nice. Twinings is my favorite one.
Buddha smooth moves.
Oh, gosh.
See how you take it too far? For the tea, is it the peppermint that does it, or is it just tea in general?
So
a lot of people
speak things.
Highly of green tea.
It's peppermint tea specifically if you're trying to get gas out of your system. Like, that's what it's for. It does that because it reduces inflammation. It has a lot of healing properties like that. It's a cooling tea. But also tea in general, the hot water also just kind of helps your insides. So you can't go wrong with a tea, but if you want the healing properties, it's the peppermint tea that does it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll try that.
So it's anti-inflammatory. Okay. Hey, did either of you guys happen to score, and sorry, just totally changing the subject a bit, score one of those Ava DuVernay Barbies?
No, they only had 999 of them.
Yeah.
Such bullshit. Okay.
But I'm pretty sure with that kind of demand, I mean, I would be surprised if they didn't do like another limited release, but who knows?
Yeah, I think they're trying to force it into being more of a collector's item, or they didn't think we would really buy them.
I think they thought we would buy them. It's definitely a collector's item, though. I mean, that's how they even... They weren't even going to release them right now, but people asked them to go ahead and release them before Christmas. So, but they say they always do $999 for whatever this platinum label, whatever. It's a special thing, and they say
so
they always do that.
So it wasn't a conspiracy
number.
Theory, is what mm-hmm. you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It wasn't. I was about to flex my whole tap muscle.
Mm-mm. It was a standard special run, and you know, perhaps they will consider. They might not, though. It might just be a collector's item, and then you got yours. Good for you.
Because I saw some side by side memes that were saying that it was intentional.
Well, of course,
but,
I mean, the whole
but you find everything.
Yeah, no, that was on Facebook.
And they are everywhere.
I'm about to say, hotels on Facebook, too?
No, I'm just saying that meme was on Facebook. I didn't go searching for that. That just floated through my timeline along with the squirrel being breastfed by a woman. But I don't know.
Don't say that while I'm drinking. Don't say that while I have.
It was on Twitter, too. I closed Facebook and went straight to Twitter trying to cleanse my eyes. And then the same thing scrolled out my timeline on Twitter. So I don't know.
Well, speaking of memes, mm-hmm. Have you guys noticed this disturbing trend of memes and poor spelling?
Yes.
Yes, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is there not a red, I mean, I don't really make memes, but is there not a red squiggly line that comes up?
Mm-mm. Not on some of those programs. Mm-mm.
The only meme I've ever made was the one we did for Paula Deen. The one where we were side-eyeing Paula Deen very early in our show. I want to say that was like the fourth episode. But that's the only meme I ever made, so I don't know if they do that. Mm. But I think, but you know what? I just thought about what happened on Twitter the other day with Ayesha Curry and with all the backlash of what she tweeted or whatever about her preference of dress. And there was a girl who does a blog, but she posts that Ayesha felt the raft, RAFT, of Black Twitter. But then went back and self-corrected and said the raft, WRAFT.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wondered if she just ignored that squiggly line or if she just saw it, kept it moving or what. So
I mean, people can't spell. They really don't know the nuances and vocabulary when it's written.
Oh, no, to be clear, I can't spell either. And I have ignored red squiggly lines, but I haven't done it in big, bold print as far as I can remember, like big, big letters. Because the bigger it is, and I mean, my vision is poor, but the larger it is, the more glaring it is to me. So I just noticed, and it seems like the more ridiculous things that they're saying that the meme says, the more misspellings there are.
It's true. It's
like, because they're not thinking about
like Twitter.
They got a message.
That's the same thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody got time for grammar and spelling when you got a message.
Message.
That is true. That is true. And let me stop. I was going to point out that I don't see why people repost them, but if the reposters don't know that it's misspelled, then yeah.
Right.
Okay. Oh,
my entire contact just popped out of my eye.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm good.
What makes that happen?
I don't know. I was just sitting here, I blinked, and all of a sudden it was on my eyelash. Y'all know I got long eyelashes, so it was just hanging. Okay.
Completely unrelated, because I have, okay, because I have no segues this day. So Chicago, a lot of the top people are resigning. There is a contingent of people who are really, really happy about that, but somebody losing their job doesn't necessarily affect their worldview. In fact, it often makes people angry. So you have those couple of people at the top, but you also have those people below them, the quote-unquote street team, who may be pissed that their, you know, favorite chief of detectives or whatever his title is, that he got, you know, I guess sort of ousted. Like, I don't know. And so people keep coming up with all these quote-unquote quick fixes for racism, but it's beyond policy. It takes a certain mindset. You know, while, yeah, you can punish the people at the top because obviously they didn't, you know, they didn't push down any type of punishment or expectation of punishment, but that still does not change the basic idea that when you see a 12-year-old boy, as soon as you roll up, he is a threat to you. And firing people doesn't change that.
It doesn't change that, but I don't think it would be appropriate for people who have who are culpable or who have bad ethics or knowledge of bad practices to stay in power either way. I mean, I don't think that's a good practice either. So it doesn't change anybody's mindset, but it also says that this is not something that's okay as viewed from the people who have the power to make at least those immediate changes. I mean, because changing a culture, you have to change it from the top down and from the bottom up. And, you know, it works best if you can do them simultaneously. But, you know, if I know that we release false press releases that are just lies on their face and that we cover up data of shooting and, you know, and I just let that stand, I don't need a job. Now, I don't know what he knew, but I'm just talking about in general. That's not, you don't need to have that position. You don't need to be in charge of overseeing the people who are supposed to protect and serve. That's not your position. You need to go find something else to do.
I find that I think
a lot of people think this is, okay, they got fired, throw my hands up, you know, the racism has been dealt with in Chicago.
I don't think anybody thinks that.
Yeah.
The same people who misspell the memes, I guess.
No, not even just those people. Like, really logical people seem to think that that's it. And my comparison was like, so I didn't drive in high school, but my friends did. If one of my friends got bad grades, okay, their parents might take their car away, but that didn't stop them from still, like, skipping school. Like, you know, the parent felt good. I'm punishing so-and-so for, you know, by taking away his or her car, but that doesn't necessarily have any impact on the grades. You know, it doesn't change the fact that this child ain't going to school or this child isn't, you know, doing well in chemistry. You know, and for a lot of people, these quick, you can put it in newspaper things, make them feel good, and then they turn away, and it's like, whatever.
Well, I guess you can say that for a lot of things, because we've talked about this, you know, not just in this situation, but several other situations where you have a problem, and it's a problem that has layers. And so fixing one part of it is not going to solve the whole thing. But for some people, if it makes you feel like, okay, well, this has been effective, then they're not going to look at any other source of what was actually contributing to the problem, which means that it's going to continue and or get worse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we talked about the onion thing, you know. So
yeah, I was just about to say, it's like the onion. I mean, that's just one layer, one part. So
because if you don't deal with it, all you're going to do is hire somebody else who does something similar or something that's just as detrimental. So,
but why are we so simple? Who's you know, like why? If, I mean, we this nation so simple. Mm-hmm. It's like we can only accept one factor. And I maybe I'm just buying into the idea of the quote-unquote good old days, but it seemed like people were always trying to do more, do better. For instance, my mom and I had this conversation about Tyler Perry, and she was just like, you know, you weren't going to have, let's say for church, you weren't going to have Mount Moriah, AME, as, you know, their choir is the best, and they just rest on that. They're going to try and be just, you know, not just the good choir in Staten Island. They're trying to be the good choir in New York. They're trying to, you know, go higher. And with regard to, like, problems, you know, you she it's like, I can't even get it out. So why is it okay for us to just deal with surface issues? Like, why is that a national thing that is accepted when before it seemed like, let older people tell it, we wanted to be the greatest nation. We didn't want, like, again, going back to Tyler Perry, oh, he has a studio, he has arrived. No, he got boom mics still in his shots.
I think that people are so busy now.
I was just about to say, as busy as part of it, yes.
Yeah, that we are doing so many things that it's easier not to have things that require complex thought, because mm-hmm. we have so many activities, so many things, so many like, when I say things, I mean material things, I mean activities. We have so many things that distract us that having to stop for a minute and actually dissect the problem and analyze it and think on more than one level takes too much time or too much effort, and so people just say forget it and settle for the quick fix. We have quick mm-hmm. fixes for everything now, medical conditions, I mean, all
but
of it.
But they don't fix anything. That's the thing. They don't fix anything.
Well, and I think that's the other thing, is that people feel like the problem is so big, it's over there. And for a lot of these problems, a lot of aspects of the problem are over there. So if I'm busy and I feel like there's nothing I can do about it anyway, I don't need to engage in a whole lot of thought about this. I'm also bombarded with information. This is the information age. We have more and more things thrown at us and partial truths and all of that. So unless I am interested in seeking out information or digging into the information that's thrown at me, it's just noise. It's all noise. So right. I have to be interested and focused enough to sift through things to say, hey, this is what I want to understand better, and I'm going to, you know, sit here with it and make sense of it. I mean, that's like a lot of steps.
Plus, we've gotten conditioned to headlines and sound bites.
Yep.
And that's pretty
Which
much
are misleading.
Exactly.
Yes.
Intentionally misleading. So we don't have the attention span beyond that intentionally misleading headline or that quick sound bite to go, but we're not even patient enough to let real journalism be done.
Or let somebody log into a hangout. I mean, you know.
Oh, you know what? 45 minutes.
Forty-five minutes. That's so funny. But yeah, I mean, I think it's all those things. And so if we don't, you know, we were watching a CNN the other day after the San Bernardino shootings, and they were, you know, doing what they do, which is interviewing all these people and giving us all this, like, fluff, but there was no new information. And so, you know, we mm-hmm. always kind of go back to when we were growing up, and number one, TV went off, and then number two, you had news at certain times of the day, and in between, people were actually gathering additional information exactly. so that they could do reporting right. and give us a new story. Now, because we have to feed the 24-hour monster, we always just have to give something. It's just something. So it's nothing that's giving us more information, but it is something that keeps us entertained or keeps us busy. So you have to go seek out those sources that are going to be serious. But again, you have to decide that you want to do that. They're out there, but that's not something that people are really that interested in pursuing.
And also because people are easily bored, they have to sensationalize. You know, they have to find something sensational because they think that people can't process or handle quote-unquote boring news.
So basically, what I hear you guys saying is there is a general lack of intellectual curiosity.
I think that's a good way to phrase it. I mean, mm-hmm. and I think that people, if they feel like an issue is important to them, they will do all these things that you need to do to get a better understanding. But if it's not important, it's just kind of background noise, and, you know, you hear the sound bites and you think you know something and you share it to the next person, and it's just like a game of telephone, but it's not. It's just passing the time.
So that seems like really crazy to me. And thinking about, for instance, an example we often go back to, so I'll use it again here, prison reform. So mm-hmm. I used to believe, yeah, they shouldn't get any education. They shouldn't get this. They shouldn't get that. But then it occurred to me, okay, so I got an education, and these are the things that I'm able to do. So if we were able to give them some education or start back giving it to them, because they had it at one point.
They had it at one point.
You know, what would the difference be? So then I started to, I don't know, at that time it was Yahoo, look things up. You know? So I don't know. I like to know things, and I know you guys like to know things as well. So I don't even know, like, I've been in conversations with people who don't like to know things, and no matter how sweetly I tell them, you the dumbest motherfucker in this room, they get so upset with me when I'm like, no, but here it is right here, these numbers, because, I mean, they don't want to be confronted with the fact that they're walking around talking stupid.
Well, the other thing, too, is that there are a lot of people who like to be told things as opposed to going and looking it up for themselves. Like, they'll come in and ask, like, they like, for example, if something's going on Twitter, you know, you can easily search, like, let's say, I don't know, a Twitter topic happens. Like, there's always inevitably somebody who'll come in and say, what's happening with so-and-so? When all you got to do is, like, search that name, and you'll get the whole story, but they'll ask that question, and so anybody could tell you anything about that.
See, I do that with my friends. I do that with y'all. But I don't do that in
But that's different. But that's different. Like, you'll come and ask somebody you trust. I assume you trust us. But I'm saying, like, just ask him, like,
not you.
I give you good information with screenshots. but ask, like, a stranger and expect to get valid information from a stranger. You know, because it's easier than going to, because again, we're quick, we got activities, we just need the bam, 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 so that you can make a quick assessment of what's going on and continue on about your day. A lot of people...
But if we're that busy, we wouldn't be tweeting, we wouldn't be Facebooking, we wouldn't be dedicating hours of our lives.
That's mindless. That's mindless behavior. Like, you could be busy...
And we're
like,
doing it at work.
you don't have to think about it, though.
But the other thing is, people also, we have to talk about the echo chamber. And so we talk about the misleading or the partial quotes or whatever. People who do seek out information often only seek out information that confirms what they already believe. So if they have negative belief systems or incomplete, you know, opinions based on some bad information, anything they see that feeds that, they're going to say, yep, I agree with that, you know, or if they see something that's information, but it goes against what they already believe, unless they're open to changing their mind about it, they discard it as biased or irrelevant or wrong and don't even consider it. So that's what's happening a lot in today's politics, is that whole idea of the echo chamber. So,
Which goes... Well,
I think in addition to, like, confronting... Or finding information that says you're wrong. If we look at, you know, gay people in America, when people have someone gay in their family that's showing up for Thanksgiving, they usually soften up a little bit. Now, they may not stop using the F word, but, you know, initially, but they typically soften up a bit. And so one of the things that I've said, and I've said this, well, to my own father about, you know, police brutality and getting shot, and I've said it to other people who think that their black daughters are somehow immune, they going to ride in a car with black boys, probably. They going to walk down the street. So you have to, most times, you have to make it real to someone over and over. Like, somebody's got to show up to Thanksgiving dinner 17 years. I went to an Easter dinner, y'all, one year, and this guy, I was with his family, and his aunt came in with a woman named Michelle. They said that was her roommate, and they've been roommates for years. But I knew Michelle because she worked at Howard, and she had a fade. And she was clearly a more of a butch lesbian, unapologetically. And these motherfuckers, and she was really a sweet girl, these motherfuckers were introducing her and these women as roommates. And I'm like, and then when I thought about it years later, I was like, you know, it probably took Auntie like 10 years to even bring Michelle to the house.
Right.
And now they still, I don't know where they are at this point. I don't even know if they're together. But it's just like people, they have to have it in their faces related to someone they love. And even then, you always have one ignorant ass holdout Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Because so that's the only time that they're going to be. Hmm? That's the only way that they're going to have to get that opportunity to be confronted with something that's outside the echo chamber, you know, and then they are forced to confront it. And so some people do what you say and soften up, and some other people, you know, disown or walk away, or they still continue to avoid whatever it is. But that reminds me of an article that I tweeted out a couple days ago that was in the Washington Post that says CEOs with daughters run more socially responsible companies, research finds. And it basically talks about that the men who have daughters, you know, for instance, this one says the medium firm with a CEO who has a daughter spends an extra 13.4% of the firm's net income on corporate social responsibility programs, as an example. It says it basically makes them softer. They seem to care more about others than just the shareholders. They care about other stakeholders in the company as well. And so they looked at a lot of them, and there's an interesting paper that they pull from. But, yeah, they call it the female socialization hypothesis, and it's been shown to prompt fathers to adopt some of their daughters' values and thinking. So.
Well, damn, I wish that would happen to some of these dudes on Twitter with daughters.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. What was it called? What was it called, Lady Buddha?
The article or the hypothesis?
The hypothesis.
It's called female socialization hypothesis.
Okay.
It's an effect that that prompts fathers to adopt some of their daughters' values and thinking. So, you know, thinks about like the gender pay gap and all of these other things. You know, it just makes them make different decisions.
I think Kanye even said something similar when North was born, about how he started to look at his business practices differently because of her.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I just assume kids in general soften men up, but it does make sense that it would take them to be more actively, quote unquote, soft in business because they don't want somebody else to do that to their daughters.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then on some level, is think about stuff that you didn't think about before. So, like, one of the examples they give includes Chief Justice William Rehnquist, who, and they think that he decided to vote in favor of the Family and Medical Leave Act because he has daughters. And so that just makes you kind of realize, oh, people do need to actually leave to go take care of their families, when maybe before you would have thought about the fact that maybe you wouldn't go do it, you know. But when you think about it more holistically and through that lens of, well, what will my daughter do? It may just prompt you to consider things you just hadn't even thought about from your privilege.
Now, question, what did you say that this was men in this research? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, because I immediately thought about that lean in chick. I can't think of her name.
Sheryl Sandberg. But,
Sheryl Sandberg, and how she took away telecommuting and different things that made working moms' lives a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I've relayed these stories to you that certain types of women are just not there for the sisterhood.
Well, I was also going to say it also takes a certain type of man when we're talking about these men changing their minds and making their decisions. These are different types of men who are actually paying attention to what's going on with their daughters, because there are a lot of men, if you're looking at the Mad Men age, you know, like those same types of men wouldn't have even considered what their daughters would think of them as far as business.
Well, their daughters wouldn't work.
Because that's what I was just about to say, because they wouldn't expect for their daughters to have ambitions anyway. So you're looking at a new generation of man anyway to even take time out to consider it. And just like we're talking about men and the Family Medical Leave Act or whatever, you're saying men actually thinking about, oh, well, I might have to go pick up my child. Well, there's some men in a different, you know, different age that wouldn't have even crossed their mind that they had to do that.
Yeah,
it's true.
It absolutely that.
So well, they have to be. Oh, yeah, they have to be open to that to even begin with. You know.
Yeah.
And not just babysitting their children. Not just babysitting.
Girl, don't even. Yeah, that. I don't even know. And I took it as my personal charge to correct people when they say that. Mothers and fathers, no, he's not babysitting. He's spending time with the thing he made.
Yeah, he's parenting.
You don't say he's babysitting his car when he goes and takes it to the car wash.
Right.
So, you know, and people underestimate the value of the language that we use. You know, like, my mom has this thing, amazingly. She says, I'm going to let you twist my hair. No, you're not. I'm not begging to do that.
That's the Doris Payne mind shift mind trick.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. But I bring that up, like I said, because language does impact, like, this whole idea of, you know, when we see in the media headlines, the accused shooter. No. He ain't accused. The one at Planned Parenthood. He did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just accusing him. He did it. Now, why he did it, whether he was mentally ill and whatever other little web y'all gonna, you know, spin, that's beside the point. Oh, but he did that shit. So, anyway, there's that. And there was something else that I meant to bring up to you guys, but we are... Actually, no, one of you guys had something earlier today that you said, and I said, oh, make sure you bring that up. And then, because I won't remember, and here I am not remembering, and here you guys are not bringing it up. So
we were talking about our winter hiatus. That's what we were talking about, as you said.
Okay.
Oh, you know what we did not do was feedback.
Okay, I know we have one from Kai Love, but that's going to be read on our next Being Mary Jane show with Lady Rowe. Woo-woo, hey, Lady Rowe.
We have like three.
You have other feedback?
Yeah, we have three iTunes reviews.
Oh, wow.
Oh, let's get it.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Okay, so.
Hey, y'all, can she hit her keyboard a little harder? Because
it's a
45
trip.
Minutes ago, I had.
I don't even know why you bringing up old stuff.
An hour and 45 minutes ago. Anyway. This one is from Justin 198128, and it says 5 stars. Excellent show, funny and thought-provoking conversations. I first heard about them on the Black Guy Who Tips, decided to give them a listen, and was not disappointed. I love the show. Keep up the great work, ladies. So thank you, Justin, for that.
Thank you.
Our next one is from Teddy826. You guys are hilarious. This is the show I listen to at work when my energy is running low and I need a pick-me-up. So really, you guys are better than coffee. LOL. Keep being great, and I'll continue listening and supporting Teddy D, the Why Not Podcast. And so thank you, Teddy, for that, and check out the Why Not Podcast. And then the last one is from Tippy Award winner Leonard Brothers.
He is so consistent.
Five-star chicks, that's the title of the review. This is Leonard from L Brothers Media dropping in to give my girls from WWN Fives a five-star love. These three lovely ladies are great people, and they produce a great podcast. Check it out when you have some time. You won't be disappointed. So thank you, Leonard Brothers, and I think he just dropped another mixtape.
Girl, he did, and it's going to get you fired. Don't listen to it when you're angry at work, because it's like got Bone Crusher and all sorts of shit. If you were younger and were in a club, you'd want to either leave the dance floor or tear up the club. It's going to make you want to tear up your office or cubicle. Don't just wait until you're calm and mellow. Yeah. One other thing I did want to mention, and I really wish that I had the name of the person who tweeted this, but it's sort of kind of resonated with me, and I've used it a few times over the weekend as an example. He said, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, if you don't support gay rights, but you support black rights, you don't want rights, you want privilege. You don't want an even playing field, you want privilege. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I think a lot of times people will operate in their best self-interest, and if you're black and not gay and only operating in your self-interest, you're not even thinking about the fact that you know, that what you're asking for is something that another person could, I don't know, could not have happening for them. You know, I don't know if I'm even verbalizing that correctly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the definition of privilege. The fact that you can not think about it. Yeah.
But I like the way he put it. And then someone else said, when you're having these conversations about who shouldn't be in this country and who shouldn't have this right or that right, substitute Jews in there and think about who you sound like. So when you're saying refugees shouldn't come here, when you're saying, you know, gays shouldn't get married, when you're saying blacks deserve to be shot down like dogs, replace it with Jews and see, you know, if that flows the same way. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, it might work out pretty well. But I'm often amazed that people who look like me can... No, you know, I'm not amazed. I'm not amazed. Because I've said before, I totally understand why someone would not necessarily support another person getting something if it means they're going to get less of it.
Well, so, I also think that in some cases, if you deal with a group of people for long enough, regardless of whether or not they're black, white, or whatever, if given the opportunity to oppress or segregate or hold something over someone else, a lot of people will choose to do that. Regardless of who they are. So just because you're black and you've been oppressed, if you're in a situation where it's all black, you might find another way to oppress someone. It might be, you know, skin tone. It might be hair texture. It might be male versus female. It might be, you know, whatever. So I think
it might be height.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that that's something that can, I don't want to say human nature, but that's just something that tends to happen when you deal with groups of people, period. Mm-hmm. So to automatically think that an oppressed group would look at another oppressed group and sympathize with them is not necessarily going to happen. Just take away that oppression and they might be doing
something. Well, how about this? I think I just solved it. How about this? Everybody gets a thing. You know, a thing where they get their privilege from. So for black people, at this point, what we really have is we set the standard of cool in America. Okay, fine.
We got cool.
Let's
privilege.
Tack on. Well, yeah, we have cool privilege. That's our thing. Asians, they're smart. So essentially, let's just take on each stereotype and figure out a way where we can even out the value of each stereotype. There, I solved it. Get Obama on the line.
You stupid.
Yeah.
Right. Listen to her.
Yeah, because she's not even listening at all. So I don't.
Right. That's the shit.
Y'all missed it.
What did we miss?
The
Oh no, we heard it. We talked about it.
3 weeks for the last 3 weeks.
Oh, that.
I have missed your and Lord.
Somebody's auntie. Oh, if you listeners, you don't even know the outfits that she was putting together as she was convalescing.
What are you talking about?
Leopard.
Talk about the robe.
Yes, the robe. Oh, okay. The fuzzy leopard.
All right. So I knew I was going to have this surgery, and the one thing that my doctor and nurse both said that I needed to make sure I brought to the hospital was a robe. So they're like, you don't have to worry about anything else that you need. They'll give it to you while you're there. So
little
I was like, but I didn't have a robe, so I had to go robe shopping.
Because you fast.
You guys,
I said, because you fast.
Yeah, well, because I just don't wear robes. I mean, I'm fully dressed all around the house, and then I'm not fully dressed when I'm in my room, at any rate.
or on the beach, or, you know.
Or just walking down, just jogging down the street, cool.
Right.
Yeah, I'm telling a story, so I'm going. At any rate, you know, I made a joke about the fact that I don't own any animal print, and you guys do. So when I went to...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I just never have thought about it or wanted any. And so,
I was talking about how you just threw us in, like, oh, and you guys do.
You do.
You're cookie lions.
Yeah. Yeah, you, like, do we need to talk about flats?
Oh, they're pulled up right now. I just don't want to surf them because I don't want to, you know, have a bad connection. Oh, but trust
the door is pain.
So girl, anyway,
I sure am, and they're gonna be comfortable, and you're gonna hate.
Go ahead with the story, Buddha.
I don't own any, and so I went shopping for a robe, and I only was gonna go to one place and look at some robes and just get a robe because that was the only reason I was getting one. And I saw this leopard print robe, and I just started laughing out loud, and I was like, "Oh, I need to get this. It's gonna cheer me up, and I'm gonna laugh every time I put it on." So I got one.
Welcome to the Auntie Club.
And there's there's a couple of pictures of me with that robe on, but it's pretty funny. And it's really warm, so I wear it around the house now.
See? You know, and now you're here. Thank you.
No, because I don't actually like the way it looks. I only bought it because it's funny. Oh,
you will.
So anyway.
Do you feel jungly?
There is, I can't think. Huh, yeah. Good question.
What'd you say?
You feel wild?
Do you feel wild, rawr?
I feel wild, but I was feeling wild anyway. You ain't got nothing to do with no.
We didn't say
brand.
Fast.
That's what we said. I'm just a.
We didn't say fast.
40 and floozy.
We didn't say fast.
No.
I'm sorry, you said 40 and floozy.
Yeah, that's your thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much where we're headed. That's where I'm going. I got 3.5 more weeks.
That's right. You heard it here, people. Be on the lookout. Some colored woman half naked in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for the name of these slippers that everybody's granny has, and they have a slight heel to them. And they're something green, but I can't think of the first name of the designer. Oh, wait, are these them? No. And I was going to strongly suggest that you get some of those, pair those up with your
You're doing too much.
She's doing way too much.
No, I'm not doing nearly enough because I haven't suggested a proper satin bonnet. So, I feel like...
Well, that's old school. I grew up wearing that when I was a little girl.
That's right. But once you put that bonnet with that robe and the slipper...
You to the leopard muumuu with the Mama Helen sleeve. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the benefit of me having these locks.
Oh, they're called Daniel Greens. You want some Daniel Greens? Yes.
Yeah, I just found them. But I don't see anything that I would actually wear. So,
you didn't you know think what? You would actually wear a leopard robe. Right. You didn't think you were going to wear that leopard robe around the house.
Yeah, I wear it to make fun of y'all.
You ain't get more showed us no picture around the house lately with it on. And if you've had it on the last week, then that means because you enjoy it.
Say what you guys want about Daniel Green, but his main ones, the ones that my grandma Ruth has many of, have been out of stock for forever. So, I mean, there's a market, and I'm down with it. And I don't know what age I should officially get them, but I'm thinking it's probably now.
These house shoes, why are they so expensive?
You got to transition.
Because they feel like you're walking on kittens. I mean, if that's something you're into, I don't know. They feel really good. Like, you don't even realize. And besides, like, a lot of my grandma's, she said that, well, she did, and my health teacher back in middle school said that women who wore heels most of the time, as they get older, they can't wear flats. So even with a house shoe, they need a heel on it.
It's true. I can't wear anything flat.
Yeah.
That's me. Yeah. So, you know, these
slippers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And quietly, I don't know why these bad boys are not outside worthy. Maybe the bottom of them isn't, the bottom of them isn't sturdy enough.
And the fifth picture I see is leopard.
There you go. There you look at it calling you.
The Daniel Green Abigail slipper.
This was not brought to you guys by Daniel Green, but if you'd like to send our podcast to him or that company, and the Daniel Green organization, please do. And maybe they can sponsor us and send us some of their shoes. Now, I personally...
Wait, we got to transition from aunties into grandmas? Can we just not and gift them to
no, if I... Listen. If I get a pair of Daniel Greens on my doorstep, they're going to be on my feet. I'm sorry. Oh, times are tough. And they're always out of stock. So, you know, I personally like the gold ones, though. The glamour slippers, those are nice.
Those are straight grandma slippers. I'm not letting
you do that. Yes,
they are. I care for you. I'm not letting you do it.
Obviously, you as a young person never slipped your feet in your grandma or your auntie's shoes. So once you do that, then come back to me and talk some shit. Because you won't. You'll be like, well, wait a minute. These are jazzy. You can wear them with your muumuu. They go with
right, all that's why I'm on Buddhist.
Okay, anyway, I think we've gone far off the rails now. And yes, the Abigail is leopard. So, ladies, listeners.
What are you going through?
Listeners, you can... Well, if you're listening to this, you've obviously already found us. But please feel free to share and give us 5-star reviews on iTunes, Stitcher. We're also on Podomatic. Share with your friends, your family, basically anybody who you think has some piece of a sense of humor and doesn't produce poorly written memes. That's our target audience. People who don't produce poorly written memes. And if you haven't already, if you're like in a car with like your friends and you guys are going home for the holidays and you haven't subscribed, whip out your phone right now and go ahead and subscribe. If you're like one of those people in the back seat or wherever you're sitting, do that. Ladies, and don't forget, we do have a donate button still.
Yes, we do.
You took it down, right?
You're the website designer.
Okay, so if you go to our website, there should be a donate button there. If not, it'll be there this time tomorrow. I'll make sure I put it up there. I don't know if it is. And ladies, where can the people reach you? I'll go with you, Lady Buddha, first. And, do you have any cheers?
I do have cheers. I have a couple cheers.
That's worth of cheers.
I haven't been on for a long time. I had to go find my cheers because I forgot. But so on Instagram, I just happened to be on Instagram and some kind of way a picture showed up in my feed or you might like or something, and it was so beautiful, and it was just black people in love, and I started clicking around and went to the feed, and it was Ellie B Events, ELLYB Events, and she just posts gorgeous wedding pictures, and it's like you'll see like, oh, I know, it was anyway, it doesn't matter what the picture was, but you'll see like bridesmaids and, you know, a bride and groom and just all these bridal parties and all these gorgeous colors and kind of these big swanky affairs. And it's funny because as I kept scrolling through, I actually ended up seeing a couple of people that I know, including girl Melanie, who recently got married. And so I guess I figured out that she was in Atlanta, this person, LEB Events, and I guess she does wedding planning, but her pictures are gorgeous. So if you, whether or not you're planning a wedding, you just want to just see pretty pictures of pretty people doing pretty things, just follow her on Instagram or just go visit her page and just see a lot of beautiful pictures. So it'll just cheer you up. Also, shout out to Blue, who's been taking great care of me these past 2.5 weeks. And you all can reach me on Twitter at NDCHARP, NDC Harp, like the instrument. My blog, I'm going to get back to it, but I have a couple of things up there now that you can go read and all my old stuff. So I'm at cocostudio.com. And anybody who wants to tweet me or message me about fibroids, please feel free. We can talk more about that because that was kind of the root reason that I was even having surgery in the first place. So I'm an open book, so feel free to ask me questions. I'm happy to share. But that's it. What about y'all?
I have two cheers. The first one is actually, Buddha, you tagged me on Instagram, was it yesterday? For Akila Richards, who is Instagram, Radical Selfie, but she is having a webinar tomorrow, the 9 steps to creating your personal manifesto, which she describes as the evolution of the vision board, which is right on time, you know, for the end of the year wind down and moving into 2016. So she also has a cool video on YouTube that I shared on my Google Plus page, but I guess by the time we post this, the webinar will be gone, but she is going to record it and have it available to people. But if you look at the bit.ly, bit.ly/radical2016, then that will take you to her website for the 9 steps to creating your personal manifesto. So it's a great way to take out 2015 and lead into 2016. And you can find me on my website, which is sojoxo.me, sojoxo.me. And I also have another Cheers.
No. Did you check your phone?
Wow.
Oh, okay. I just checked my phone. Well, the Cheers that I was going to do, I guess I will hand over to Miss
March. Wow.
Dang! You see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about? Okay. I'm gonna table my Cheers and hand it over to Miss Smart.
Before you do that, real quick, that person that you just shouted out, Keila Richards, she's also the one, I've mentioned her a couple times long ago, mm-hmm. the How Do I Want to Feel? She's mm-hmm. the one that really challenged what I was thinking about at that time. So I really like her work. So y'all go check her out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think I stand for her now.
My Cheers is for Anika Noni Rose, who is set to be dun 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 in power.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Season 3.
So they're bringing someone who can act to power. And I am fit to be tied, as the old folks say. Because I am interested in seeing, because I know she's not going to dull her light. And so hopefully that brings up the acting quality of some of the other people. Mm-hmm. I trust that she's going to be amazing. So that is mm-hmm. my Cheers. And I also want to point out that I was able to bully Sojo today. So that is obviously
a win. You did. Because I was actually going to do a Rattler shout out since we talked about Kelsey Sky, who was on episode 44, who was joining How to Get Away with Murder, and mm-hmm. then Anika joining Power. So Rattler Nation is taking over. But I'm excited about Power, too, because Anika's going to be playing the cop, which means mm-hmm. that she's going to be going after ghosts and mm-hmm. Hopefully going after old Spanish broad. I don't even remember.
Oh, isn't she the worst? And you know,
yeah, I hope she arrests her. Like, yeah,
she's the worst. And so is that girl on Empire who they've sort of replaced the not Rihanna chick with. She's the worst too. I could do without her. Anyway, so Anika is my Cheers for this week. You can reach me at think_P_smart on Twitter. The show collectively is on Twitter. We are at Whiskey Wine Moon. We also have a website, and as I said before, we are on Stitcher, Podomatic, iTunes, yada yada yada. So certainly reach out to us there. We do accept donations, and in lieu of donations, you certainly can leave us 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, ladies, let's put this party to rest with Cheers!
Cheers! Cheers.